Let's open up to Psalm 119. Did you notice the title of our study? 18. Thus, don't count on me finishing this worksheet tonight. 8 would be a challenge, let alone 18. But they'll move fairly quickly. We won't be in it too awfully long. We'll start out in Psalm 119, and the verses will all go in order from front to the back of the Bible, so it'll help you find them quicker. Not in any other order than that. But Psalm 119, verse number 11, a verse we should all be familiar with, simply says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so, as we're looking at the word of God, we've looked at the fact that God gave it through revelation, God gave it then through inspiration, and then we saw illumination and preservation. There's a reason why God took such care to do it the way he did, so that we have the very words of God. And so these are certainly not an exhaustive list, but it helps us understand what the word of God does in our lives. And it should help us when we study these things to value it and give it a place of priority in our lives. And so the first thing we find here in Psalm 19:11 is that it insulates against sin. Insulates against sin. Sin is a struggle that we all do battle with on a daily basis. Maybe not sin, but at least temptation. The devil would seek to trip us up, and that's just every Christian's struggle while we're here on this earth. And it makes heaven so much more enjoyable to look forward to when we'll be absent and completely separated from the temptation to sin. The evil one won't be able to touch us there. But while we're here on this earth, that's not the case. He sends his minions our way and tries to distract us and tries to get us caught up in good things instead of the right things and tries to all kinds of things. Give us excuses not to do the things we know that we need to do. The more we spend, the more time we spend in God's Word, the more success we'll find in resisting temptation. And it doesn't matter what the temptation is, whether it be anger, whether it be worry, it's all irrelevant. The more time we spend in God's Word, the more success we'll have against that temptation. That's what this verse teaches us. In fact, if we back up a couple of verses in verse number 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so the word of God has a very important part to play in our lives as Christians. And when we struggle with sin, we need to get into God's word. Unfortunately, generally, the opposite is what happens. How's that old song go? I think the Marshalls wrote it. But I'm not sure. I know they sang it. Sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin. And that's just the way it works. And don't let sin keep you from the book. We're all going to sin. God knows that. He understands that. In Hebrews, I mention it from time to time, frequently here recently, but that sin that does so easily beset us, it's going to happen. And so we apply 1 John 1:9, confess our sins, receive the forgiveness that God offers, and then spend time in his book in order that we can resist more successfully the next time the temptation comes around. And so that should be our response. And so that's the first function we see on here of the word of God, is to insulate against sin. Over in verse number 74 of Psalm 119, we see a second function of God's word. And boy, we need this one today. Psalm 119, verse number 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And so the word of God gives hope. What are some things that the Bible tells us about that we have hope in? Heaven is a very good one. We know that we're just pilgrims passing through, that no matter what this world throws at us, it's not the end. There's a payday coming someday for the faithful and walk those streets of gold. And
Boy, what a wonderful hope that is, heaven. No more sickness, no more pain, no tears, no death. In the sword of the Lord, I think it was Ted Camp, he writes an article in there in each issue. They come out generally every 2 weeks, but he was talking about the no mores. And he said that that's what the Bible tells. I think there's six of them there in the book of Revelation, six or seven. But he said, along with those go no more funerals, no more doctors, no more hospitals, no more medicine. And when you go on with that list, you can start thinking of some things that we deal with here as just a way of life. We accept it because it is what it is. But in heaven, we'll leave these things behind and we'll realize how unpleasant they actually were. All right, what's something else the Bible gives us hope in? Heaven, what else? Pastor Stephen?
Rewards for service and faithfulness.
Isn't that amazing? Rewards for service and faithfulness. Man, can you find a better deal than that? I mean, God is the one who equips us to do service. And then he's the one, while we're doing the service, empowers us for the service. And then he gives us reward for doing it. I would think it would all go to him, and it will, and I think that's why we cast our crowns before his throne. Because those crowns are the rewards we've won, and we'll realize that, hey, I didn't have anything to do with that, really. I was just there. And you did everything. I don't deserve this. And so we cast him at his feet as we bow and worship. But we have hope of rewards. God doesn't let any act of service go unrewarded. He takes note of every time we're faithful to serve him and to stand for him. And so we have hope. What else do we have hope in? Okay, that joy that's unspeakable. That's a hope we have. The world doesn't know it, but we have it. I'm thinking of one in the book of Romans chapter 8. Trying to lead you on here to where I want to go with this because I got 18 points.
Things work together
for good. Exactly. Sometimes, you know, we're in circumstances that we just scratch our head and say, man, this can't be good. I don't see any way that this turns out well for me. And yet we have hope because of God's word that in the end, it will turn out good. And when we have hope, I'm talking about the biblical hope. What's different between the biblical hope and the world's hope?
Certainty.
Certainty, exactly. You know, I have the world's hope about the Detroit Tigers. I hope they win the division. They're in first place right now, tied with the other four teams in the division. Tomorrow, we'll find out a little bit more. It'll separate some of them. But for now, they're undefeated. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say about the Detroit Tigers? They are undefeated. Can't talk about the Red Wings. They really blew it last night. They'll probably not make the playoffs at this point. But at the end of the season, I really don't expect the Tigers to be in the playoffs. I hope they will be, but there's absolutely no certainty, absolutely no confidence that they'll be there at the end of the year. Could happen. And I hope it does, but it most likely won't. I'm not fooling myself into thinking they will. That's the world's hope. Now, the biblical hope is like death and taxes. You know they're coming. Now, you don't hope for death and you don't hope for taxes. But nevertheless, you know it's an expectancy. It's a certainty. And so we have the certainty of heaven. We have the certainty that all things work together for good. We have the certainty of the joy, and we have the certainty of the rewards. We don't have to wring our hands and wonder, will these things actually happen? No, they will happen. God told us, God who cannot lie. And so the Bible assures us of these promises and gives us hope as we spend time in it and we discover the things that he has planned for us. All right, let's look over to verse number 116. 116. Uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. And so we see the word of God also upholds. Now, what in the world is he talking about there? The Word of God upholds. What does it do when it upholds?
Keeps us from falling.
Okay, good. Keeps us from falling. When I think of that word, what I think of is a foundation. And throughout the book of Psalms, in different Psalms, you find that idea that he took them out of a slippery place and put them on a solid rock. And that's what Jesus Christ is, and his word is that foundation on which we stand. And what he's talking about is basing our lives, I believe anyway, basing our lives on this book. This is our foundation. And if we'll base our lives on this book, then we'll have a sure foundation. We won't fall, but we'll be able to walk confidently and surely and certainly and successfully for the Lord, if we'll base it on this book, because this book is what upholds us. It holds us up and keeps us from falling. It's that sure foundation. And so that's why God took the time to write out all of his ordinances and all of his commandments and all of his promises, so that we know the foundation and we can know it clearly and we don't have to have any guesswork. There's a song that I hear on Abiding Radio, and I listen to Abiding Radio. I listen to the instrumental, same stuff that we hear before our services. They have actually three different, if you've ever been on there, three different channels. One of them has the music and the vocals, or the words, and the other one is basically that, but it's seasonal. There's a song that I hear on instrumental, and so I looked it up on YouTube, and I found a group singing it, and they panned on the crowd, and the one thing I noticed is they all had beer in their hand. And then I noticed the lead singer reach down and pick up a beer and take a drink, and I'm thinking, they don't have a clue. And, the Word of God is so clear on these things. They tell us, God tells us what's right and what's wrong. And so it upholds us, keeps us from falling if we'll listen. Obviously not everybody listens. That group that I heard singing that song wasn't listening, were they? But God is very clear on these matters. And so the Word of God insulates from sin. It gives hope. It upholds. And then verse number 130. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And so it generates light. And this was the verse when we started the Bible Institute there in Ohio. This is the verse that I chose for the Institute key verse. And almost all the students memorized it because I gave extra credit, and they always wanted extra credit on my tests because they were so easy. Well, they didn't think they were easy, but they were easy. And I always enjoyed when I did grab either Guy or Abby before the Sunday before the test was coming up on Monday, and I'd give them the test. They had never sat in the classes, and they could pass every test. And then I'd hear the students who sat in all the classes moaning and groaning about how tough it is. I'm just no mercy. If a young teenager can answer this and get them all right, well, most of them right, there's no reason why those that didn't study. But anyway, so they ate up the extra credit. And this is a verse, because this is a good verse, talking about the importance of God's Word and one of its function. It gives light. Well, we live in a confusing world, don't we? You know, we hear so many different opinions and viewpoints, and so-called scientific, what they call established fact that we know is nothing but a farce. How do we know the truth from the lie? If it's based on God's word and doesn't contradict God's word, there's a good chance it's the truth. But it takes the Word of God to give us that light. And how do we meander our way through the maze that we call life? We each have a different route to travel, different circumstances, different people we encounter. The Word of God is that light and that lamp, isn't it? If we would look at another verse here in the Word of God, it generates light, gives us understanding, gives us wisdom, helps us interpret the circumstances and the world around us. But we need God's Word to do that. And we can pray and we can get guidance and direction. But so often God answers those kind of questions through His Word when we ask for that direction and that guidance. But if we're not in God's Word, we're sacrificing that wisdom, that light, that understanding. We're saying, I want it, but I'm not going to do what I have to do to get it. And so we miss it, and then we're confused, and then we take the wrong steps, and we don't do the right things or make the right choices, and we have the wrong worldview. And that's what's going on in the world around us. I still remember what Mary Ann, she's come 3 times now, her first time here. She's the lady that used the walker. And just the way she said it, she was so happy that she found a church that is based on the Word of God. But the comment she made, she said, they're so hard to find nowadays. What are these churches doing? What are they talking about? There's one famous preacher, I'm not going to tell you his name because some of you may have heard of him, but he published a newspaper, and in every one of his papers, they came out monthly, he would have one of his sermons. And it would start out with a verse, and then he never talked about the verse. What he did is he told a story. That was an interesting story. And at the end, he would try to make it apply to the verse that he started with, but there's no Bible there. I'm not supposed to be a storyteller. Although stories help enlighten the Word of God, and so you tell stories as illustrations, but it's got to be Bible. And we're getting away from that in our churches. And Barna Research does a lot of surveys around our country trying to get the what's going on in Christianity. And he's a new evangelical. He's not just like we are, but the one thing I appreciate about him is he'll ask questions to see if the person truly understands salvation. He doesn't just ask, are you Christian? Because more people than not will say that, and more people will not be Christians than will be in a scenario like that. But he asks the questions about salvation to distinguish between the saved and the lost, and it's astounding how little biblical knowledge there is among born-again believers. They don't even know that Jesus was sinless. Many of them, almost a majority, don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Too big of a percentage don't think he raised from the dead. But how can they be saved if he didn't raise from the dead? But they answered those questions right. But they're so deluded because they're not getting Bible. You see, the Bible generates light. We need to be in it. And we need to study it. We need to know it. And we need to take advantage of every opportunity. We may not have this opportunity for long. I mean, there's countries in this world, a large number of countries. In fact, if you just took it by the population, 8.5 billion, over half the world's population does not have the freedom to open the Word of God and read it and study it freely like we do. And even a greater majority of the world's population can't go into a bookstore and find a Bible. And we can go to dollar store, Dollar Tree or whatever, and we can get a Bible there for cheap. We can get books to help us study the Bible, and we go to a Bible bookstore or go online, and we have to compare the study Bibles. Because we have so much available to us. We don't realize what a privileged position we're in here in the United States. And because of that privileged position, we take it for granted. We've forgotten that the Word of God, the entrance of God's Word gives light. And so we're all messed up as churches, and we're all messed up as a nation because of our neglect of God's Word. Let's move down just a couple of verses. The Word of God insulates from sin. The Word of God gives hope. The Word of God upholds. The Word of God generates light. But it also orders our steps. Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Well, that's a whole message all in itself in this verse. The psalmist is praying and asking God, help me obey you. And the only things I know to obey are those things in your word. But I like that first word, order. Now, I don't know, I don't think I'm OCD, where everything has to be perfectly straight, but I like things to be in order. And did I ever tell you what I did to poor Pastor Bucklew in the Bible Institute? Because I would always set up the tables, and Pastor Bucklew was OCD, and he freely admitted it. So I'd set up the tables, and I'd make that front table right in front of the podium. I'd, on purpose, would make it just a little bit crooked. And it was so funny, because he'd always come in, he'd put his briefcase on the chair, he'd walk up, put his Bible down, his notes down, put his hands inside the pulpit, he'd look up at the tables, and and he'd walk around this side, and he'd straighten that table with a left hand. He didn't know I was doing it on purpose. I didn't do it every week, so it wasn't obvious. But order. Think, we're just made to want things nice and straight and orderly. If our life isn't guided by God's word and obedience, it's chaos. That's what God's saying. The only way we can have order in our lives is if we'll follow God's word. If we go beyond God's word and ignore God's word, chaos and confusion is what we should expect, because that's what there will be. And that's what the world is experiencing. They don't have a clue. Look at how unglued they came during COVID. I hope you didn't come unglued. I knew God was in control. I wasn't concerned about getting it. If the Lord wanted to take me home, he would take me home through COVID or an accident or whatever, heart attack. He's got all kinds of ways he can do it. But if he still has responsibilities for me here on earth, COVID couldn't touch me. And so I wasn't concerned about it, but boy, the world came unglued, didn't they? People would get mad if you didn't wear a mask. They'd get mad if you didn't walk down the aisle the right way in the store. Remember that when they had the arrows? You can go this way, but you're not supposed to go that way. I'd go backwards just to be rebellious. I'm bad that way. I shouldn't have done that. Confessing my sins one to another, right? But it was chaos. They came unglued. They didn't know how to handle it. Should never be that way with a Christian. We're going to have the same circumstances, the same issues, the same problems that they have. But we can enjoy order if we'll order our steps in His Word. It's a function of His Word, but we've got to be in it. We've got to be studying it. We've got to be reading it. We've got to know it. We've got to hide it in our hearts, which is where we began this evening in verse number 11 of Psalm 119. Now, we've got a couple more here in Psalm 119, but we are out of time. And so we'll stop there with number 5. But we've seen 5 functions of God's Word. It insulates from sin. It gives hope. It upholds. It generates light. And it orders our steps. Pretty important book. And it is a necessity. God compares it on many occasions to our necessary food. You know, we don't skip many meals. Let's not skip our spiritual meal. Feasting in the Word of God, aided by the Holy Spirit of God, in order that God may speak to us and guide us. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for the blessing that it is. Now, as we go our separate way, Father, we just ask that you would bless us. May your grace sustain us. Be with Stacy, especially, and Matthew during this hour. Father, comfort them as only you can. Give them the peace that passes all understanding. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.